You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Kotzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
What's up, baby? Free agency, full effect, Miami Dolphins wasting no time, diving in, Brain. Let's go.
This is fun. Now, look, if you're anything like me, I know there's a lot of different types of fans, but if you're anything like me, this is the part, this part of the season, the off season, in many ways is like more exciting to me than the actual playing of the football games. What I liken it to
because we're like 20 times NFL off season champions.
If the off season was where you won rings, the Dolphins would have been the Patriots over the last 20 years.
That's but right.
This
baby.
Is what this reminds me of is, look, when I would grow up and go over to my friend's house for a sleepover to play Madden. You know, a lot of people would go and they play Madden and they do tournaments and they'd get on their sticks and, you know, see who's got the best game. You know, no, that's not what we would do. What we would do is we would go full GM mode. Each of us pick a team and we're managing this thing. We're signing guys in free agency. We're structuring the contracts. We're drafting guys. We're scouting guys. And then we get to the season. Like, we'd spend an hour doing the off season and then we'd simulate through the whole season in about 15 minutes. Because that doesn't test, like, when you play the games, that doesn't test what a good GM you are. It tests how good you are at actually playing the game. We want to test our skills at building a team. And that's what this part of the year is all about. This is fun for me.
Well, it's fun for a lot of people because this is where the unbridled optimism can just kind of run wild. And you see it already. You see it everywhere. People are living in the moment as Dolphin fans, enjoying it because this is where you're not worrying about injuries. You're not worried about, you know, turnovers. You're not worried about that kind of stuff. This is where you are just, it's just racking up dubs everywhere. It's just dub after dub after dub. And you're just, and you're happy about it. You're optimistic. It's baseball season is almost upon us, regular season. Everybody has got that unbridled optimism of everything and anything is possible. And when you're living at the beginning of the free agency window, that's where you are as a Dolphin fan because the sky's the limit. Anything is possible. You see the Dolphins loading up and you can let your imagination run wild, right? And to be fair, the Dolphins are in the process of, I would say, the team that they've got right now, the Dolphins roster right now, best roster that the Dolphins have had, man for man, since at the very least, like 2002. Like, you know, I mean, we're probably talking early, mid-90s, the last time the Dolphins had a roster that is as stacked as it is right now. So you understand that the Miami Dolphins and their fans are feeling good. You're feeling optimistic, right? And especially coming off the back of a season where you lost in the first round of the playoffs, and that's with missing your starting quarterback for 5 games or whatever it was over the course of the season. So, yeah, plenty of reasons to be optimistic. And we're going to talk about all of the things that the Miami Dolphins have done so far in free agency and what maybe we still would like to see them do before we get to OTAs and we get to, you know, training camp and all that stuff. That's all down the road, but we're gonna recap all of that here on this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. But before we do that, a reminder to you, if you haven't done so already, make sure you're following us on Twitter. I'm at Amplified to Rock. He is at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. We invite you to download, rate, review, and subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you get your podcasts. We want to make sure, leave us a 5-star rating, leave us a positive review. We appreciate everybody that's done that so far. And make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It's your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins, especially as news seems to be breaking every 5 minutes that the Dolphins have signed somebody else or re-signed somebody else. So make sure you're staying up to date on all that at DolphinsTalk.com. And then make sure you go over to YouTube and you subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. If you're watching us on YouTube right now, go ahead and smash the like button on this video. That's the thumbs up. Go ahead and click that right there. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. Turn on notifications so you know every time we go live. We appreciate you. And if you're watching live right now, you're watching along with us, we appreciate you. If you're listening in podcast form, we appreciate you too. Leave us a comment on the video or on the audio. Let us know, what moves would you like to see the Dolphins make? Who would you like to see the Dolphins sign to this roster? Is there somebody still on the roster you'd like to see him get rid of? Shout it out. Put it in the comments. We'd like to hear from you. We'll share some of those thoughts with you here on the show. So, Brian, let's just dive into it. Let's no beating around the bush here. Dive right in. Everybody got excited when it was the Sunday before the legal tampering period. And it was funny. I was sitting... My family and I, our very good friend is the drama teacher at a local high school, and their drama club musical was going on. And so I was preparing to go and sit down in the show, and I was about to turn my phone off. And I just knew that as soon as I did that, that something was going to happen. Lo and behold, Sunday, sitting in the show, and then I turned my phone on. And lo and behold, the Miami Dolphins have traded for Jalen Ramsey. The Miami Dolphins trade a third round pick and Hunter Long. Remember Hunter Long? They traded a third round pick and Matt Damon from Team America to the Los Angeles Rams for Jalen Ramsey, one of the best shutdown corners in the game. Brain, I was thinking all along that I was really hopeful that the Dolphins were going to boost their secondary. I was thinking more along the lines of a safety. I was thinking Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He was somebody that I wanted. But the Dolphins went out and they got themselves a big fish. They went out and they got themselves Jalen Ramsey. They have since boosted their secondary as well with the signing of Deshaun Elliott. And they've also re-signed Nick Needham. So, Brian, let's just start there in the secondary with what the Dolphins have done. Your initial reaction to the Jalen Ramsey trade?
My initial reaction was, okay, looking at the compensation, I understand the trade. Like, I mean, it's great compensation.
Dolphins fleece the Rams
like,
on that.
Getting a player of that caliber for a third round pick and Hunter Long, like, no brainer.
Yeah, absolutely. All
but
day,
my
every
my
day.
Initial thought was, does this prohibit us from spending in other areas that are more necessary for the Dolphins to spend this offseason as we build the complementary pieces to this roster and looking at the contract that they were taking on? So I was kind of lukewarm on it. On the one hand, you're getting a great player. You didn't give up a whole lot for him. But on the other hand, are you, you know, tying yourself up with too much money at the cornerback position when you have other more pressing needs, especially considering you're moving to zone coverage, you're not going to be playing a whole lot of man. And so, you know, is it really necessary to have a corner like Jalen Ramsey? Well, now as the contract details have come out and it appears that they've restructured this deal and he's going to have a cap number of like $5 million this year. He's taking a significant pay cut this year to get more money next year, even though he's still got like the same amount of guaranteed money. It's kind of hard to dislike this move. So at the end of the day, you got a great player. You didn't give up much to get him. He's reworking his deal and taking a pay cut to be here. I've softened my stance on it. It's a great move. Now, that said, there's still all those other areas where the Dolphins need to be aggressive. And the two most pressing places, in my opinion, or the, you know, going into the offseason, were tackle, linebacker, and then safety. Those were the three biggest ones. The linebacker situation, I feel good about. I think they got good value in the signing for David Long. I like that they brought back Duke Riley. I like that room. I like the talent that they have in that room. I like the fact that Channing Tindall is still going to have the ability to play his way onto the field, but they're not going to go into this year completely relying on Channing Tindall to take a huge step. But if he does, then it's just the more the merrier. It puts you in a really good spot. Safety, I think we can, you know, there's still enough guys there. I think we can get a deep safety. I know we signed Deshaun Elliott. I think Deshaun Elliott is a depth piece. I think he's Brandon Jones insurance. He's an extra guy that you can put in the slot if you had to. And if Brandon Jones misses time, he basically plays that Brandon Jones role. And with Brandon Jones not just coming off an injury, but also going into a contract year, it's an opportunity to have somebody that plays that same role and see if he can play up to that same level. And maybe you can, you know, we'll see how Brandon Jones plays. We'll see how he plays, and you can figure it out in the long term between one of those two, or if you have to go a completely other route. That said, we've let the tackle market kind of dry up a little bit. It was not a strong tackle market to begin with.
All right, Brain, I asked you to talk about the secondary, and you're sitting here, you're going down.
I'm just so excited, man. I'm so excited. This is what it's all about.
The secondary, talking linebackers, talking tackle. We're going to get to the offensive line, okay? We're going to get there. There are many people waiting for you to cut a promo on the offensive line and everything that needs to happen there. We're going to get there, okay?
All right. We'll get to the offensive line.
I promise I will let you have that moment.
We still need a safety. You asked me about the secondary. I feel good about the cornerback room. We brought back Nick Needham. It's more depth. We're doing everything that we can do to avoid having to put Noah Igbinoghene on the field.
That's right. And that's the most important thing. Remember a couple years ago, Brain, you'll remember that we went into the offseason. We said one of the biggest priorities for this team is that we need to start the next season without Jakeem Grant being one of our top wide receivers. Remember that?
Oh, those were the good old days.
Right. So now.
Remember how high on Jakeem Grant Dolphins fans were?
Yeah.
Everybody loved Jakeem Grant. This is the year. This is the breakout year. Preseason stud, Jakeem Grant.
That was the thing, right? We just had to get away from that, right? And after a couple of years, we got past it, right? It was more off seasons than I would have liked, where we were like, we got to get past Jakeem Grant. But eventually we did. So now the goal is, we got to get to the point where Noah Igbinoghene never sees the field. That's where we are. And the Dolphins have made moves so far to ensure that hopefully Noah Igbinoghene does not see the field, because let's not forget, we're also getting Trill Williams back, right, from injury. So that's good. Getting Brandon Jones back there. We're obviously bringing Nick Needham back. Hopefully he's going to be healthy and able to go. We moved on from Byron Jones. He's officially been released now. He's designated as a post June 1st cut. So the Dolphins will get $13.5 million back against the cap when that happens. So that's good. So things are shaping up back there in the secondary. But that wasn't all that the Dolphins have done, is boosting the secondary. You mentioned that the Dolphins also re-signed Duke Riley, and they signed the linebacker that I wanted. They signed David Long. They signed him. Got rid of Hunter Long, brought in David Long. We've got a long upgrade, because we have upgraded our long. I'll tell you that much. We've got David Long, who's kind of an undersized linebacker, but he's an undersized linebacker who goes hard all of the time and is really adept at putting himself in the right places. Brain, can you think of another undersized linebacker that the Dolphins had at some point that was really smart, played the game well, and managed to always put himself in the right places?
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing this. I'm happy that they signed David Long.
Come on.
But I'm not going to, on the year that he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame,
that's right,
I'm not going to compare David Long to Zach Thomas.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But I will say this, or I'll ask you this, I should say. Would you say that he's long and he's strong?
I would also go as far as to say he's down to get the friction on.
So, fellas.
Yeah.
Fellas?
Yeah.
You know the rest.
Yeah, I know the rest. It's good. It's a big upgrade there. Listen, it's an upgrade from a Landon Roberts who has gone off to join the Pittsburgh Steelers. So yeah, notice he didn't go to the Pittsburgh Steelers when Brian Flores was still there. But he's going to the Steelers now. That's a whole other conversation about how all these guys on the Vikings defense are jumping ship now that Brian Flores is the defensive coordinator. But that's neither here nor there.
Well, they're playing a completely different defense, so that's going to happen.
Let me have this. Will you let me have this? Go with me here.
You're right. They saw Brian Flores coming in, and they're like, oh, we're out of here.
Thank you. Thank you. That's the point that I was trying to make. Well, listen, the Dolphins upgraded from a Landon Roberts. That's good. So the linebacker room, we had a feeling. You know, we said at the end of the season, I don't know that anybody that is currently in that linebacker room is safe to be there. I feel like the Dolphins are probably happy with the combination of Jerome Baker and David Long. I feel like that's a lot of speed at being a linebacker. I feel like they're going to be happy with that combination. Wouldn't surprise me to see them make another couple of moves at linebacker, some other, you know, more bargain pieces. But the Dolphins upgraded there. The Dolphins have also upgraded at backup quarterback. Well, I think they've upgraded. They brought in Mike White. Pembroke Pines, Florida's own Mike White makes his triumphant return to South Florida as the backup quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. And he's going to be backing up Tua. Mike White.
What's the first place you think Mike White goes to when he gets back to South Florida? You think he goes back to J.P. Mulligan's?
No. The first place Mike, listen, if he knows anything about South Florida, the first place he's going when he gets back to South Florida, he's going to Las Patas.
I mean, a little bit of a ways from Pines, but not too far.
Listen, if you live in Pembroke Pines, you're going to make the trek to, you go to the Las Patas in Davie, you're fine.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's fine. It's fine. So
you get yourself a Mama La Spada and you're feeling good.
Oh, baby. So I'm sure Mike White, if you thought he was good, he's not going to go to La Spada's quite as often as he would have, you know, when the Dolphins were still training at Nova, when they were up there in Davie. Now that they've moved everything back down to Miami Lakes, it's not quite as convenient to get to La Spada's from practice, but that's okay. It's okay.
He'll go to Pita Shop right there on Miramar Parkway and Red Road.
That's right. What I'm saying is he's going to get his carby sandwich in. It's going to be fine. You know, although looking at Mike White, this is not a guy that is, you know, super carb heavy, I wouldn't think.
But you know who I bet is carb heavy?
Who?
Dan Feeney.
Can I just look at this guy?
That's a guy that loves his carbs.
Look at Dan Feeney. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about Dan Feeney in a minute. But Dan Feeney is my spirit animal. For those of you who are listening to this in podcast form, you got to go out of, if you have never seen Dan Feeney before, go and look him up. And there's also a clip that was making the rounds on Twitter today. I think Bobby Schaus put it out there of Dan Feeney at an Islanders game. Unbelievable. Unbelievable quality there. Okay. Dan Feeney.
On
amazing.
A scale of 1 to 10, where do you rate Dan Feeney's mullet?
You know, let me think about that for a little bit. I'm going to think about Dan Feeney's mullet and where I rate it. I want you, Brain, to talk to us about Mike White as the Dolphins' backup quarterback.
So when the news first broke that it was like 2 years up to $16 million, I was, for Mike White, I was pretty livid. I thought, man, this is exactly the kind of move that I did not want the Dolphins to make, to spend $8 million per year on a backup quarterback who's not even like, I mean, Mike White is fine. He's fine, but he's not like if you're going to spend $8 million a year on a backup quarterback, I want to know that I've got a backup quarterback that is, you know, can win you football games. And I don't know that Mike White is a huge upgrade. I think he's an upgrade over, Skylar Thompson, but I think the more you dug into it, you know, you find out he's familiar with the system. I think that's big because you're not bringing in somebody that's going to just be, you know, have to learn this thing. So there's a certain sense of confidence that you're going to bring him in. And there's not going to be a learning curve. So he's going to be somebody that's reliable. I was a little miffed at the aggression at which they went after Mike White. But when you really look at the contract and you see that it's really 2 years, $8 million, and then it's got escalators for, you know, playing time and superlatives and, you know, stats and things like that. I think, you know, that's a deal that I can live with. That was always kind of in the range where I said I'd be willing to spend for an upgrade over Skylar Thompson, $3-4 million. I still would have preferred Gardner Minshew. But we'll see what that, you know, where his contract kind of comes in. What I get the sense is that the Dolphins kind of set the market for backup quarterbacks by being aggressive. So instead of seeing a bunch of guys sign these big deals at backup quarterback and then kind of waiting and picking your guy based on how they slot in, the Dolphins said, here's a guy that we're comfortable with. He knows the system. Here's a contract that we're comfortable with. That's, you know, we're not really breaking the bank on it. I'm fine with it.
Let me ask you this. Do you think in signing Mike White and in aggressively going after Mike White on the market that the Dolphins were going out of their way to ensure that they were bringing in a quarterback that was not going to be a threat to Tua?
Like, have brought in that would have been a threat?
Well, I mean, that maybe, I don't know. I feel like if they'd have brought in a guy like Baker Mayfield, a guy like Baker Mayfield, who's actually going to be starting for Tampa Bay, you know, you're bringing in a quarterback
Baker
who
Mayfield
thinks that
get as
they,
far as a
they should still be a starter. Oh, I mean, I haven't, I could pull up the numbers to see what Baker
I'm
Mayfield
sure
is making.
I'm sure that Baker Mayfield probably got at least double, you know, he probably got like $8 million, like probably a 1 year, $8 million, something. Is that what it was?
Oh, I'm
sure he got like a lot more guaranteed money than Mike White. I think it's more about money. Maybe that factored in.
It's a, here's the deal. 1 year, $4 million for Baker Mayfield.
Okay. $2 million, actually less.
$2 million fully guaranteed, $2 million roster bonus as well.
So, I mean, I would argue that it's
plus
not as much
in
about
play time and playoff incentives.
The money, like, would you rather spend $4 million on Baker Mayfield or $4 million on Mike White? I would tend to lean more towards Baker Mayfield because of the higher ceiling. But I'll say this, Baker Mayfield also comes with distractions. You don't want your backup quarterback to have distractions. Now, if you get your starting quarterback at $4 million, he can have whatever distractions he wants because you're paying your starting quarterback $4 million. So you're not really, you know, risking anything. But I'm not paying my backup quarterback $4 million and then having him make waves in the media the way Baker Mayfield has. So I think that probably factors into it more than anything. At this point, the Dolphins just picked up Tua's fifth-year option, right?
Right. Yep.
Nobody that was coming in was challenging Tua for the starting job. So that, I don't think that ever really factored into the decision, but I do think you don't want your backup quarterback to be a distraction.
All right. Fair enough. Well, let's keep it on the offensive side here. The Dolphins re-signed Savon Ahmed, Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, Myles Gaskin. They also re-signed John Lovett, the fullback. Not John Lovitz from A League of Their Own and The Critic. John Lovett, the podcaster. But John Lovett, the fullback. They signed him. So they're basically running it back in the running back room. That's what it looks like at this point. And I guess we should clarify this as we're talking about what the Dolphins have done. This is all that they've done so far. When you look at the deals that they have signed Ahmed, Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, and Myles Gaskin to, I don't know that there is anything in there that indicates to me that the Dolphins are out on any of the bigger name running backs that they have been linked to. I'm not saying that there is a move imminent. The Dolphins have been rumored to be in conversations about making a trade for Dalvin Cook is the name that they've really been linked to. Although at one point there was a report that the Dolphins were the second lowest odds. They were the second most likely team, according to Vegas, to land Derrick Henry in a trade. Now, so I wonder, Brain, how you feel about the fact that the Dolphins are planning, at least as of now, on running it back with this running back group. Assuming that the Dolphins did not, assuming that the Dolphins don't go out and bring in a Dalvin Cook or a Derrick Henry, how do you feel about the Dolphins moving forward with the same running back room that they had in 2022?
Well, one, I don't think that they're going to bring in a big name running back like that. I think if they were going to do that, they wouldn't have brought back both Mostert and Jeff Wilson, and certainly not Myles Gaskin as well. Although Myles Gaskin is like $200,000 or something guaranteed money. It's like nothing. He could easily just be a camp guy. But I don't think that they're going to do that. Now, I have no problem with it. I think, you know, I wouldn't have minded them attacking the running back room. This was before they traded a third round pick for Jalen Ramsey. You've got even less draft capital now, less money to work with as well. I think it makes sense to have the running back room that you had. Now, do I still want them to add a guy in the draft? Yeah, but now their draft capital is so limited that you just kind of have to wait and see. And I think the rest of what they do in free agency is also going to factor in, because, you know, we'll talk about it, I'm sure, here in a moment. But if the Dolphins really don't attack this tackle market and come up with somebody that could potentially start at right tackle, or at least, you know, and push Austin Jackson, then you're going to be in a position where you've got to draft a tackle. And if you've got to draft a tackle, you probably are going to have to use that second round pick on him. And you're running out of picks. you don't have that many picks to address that many needs. And that's, so I think that probably also spurred the decision. Like, let's bring everybody back. And if the right situation falls to us in the draft where there's a player that we love, then, and it's at a spot where we're comfortable spending, then we'll go get it. But otherwise, you know, we're going to just run it back with what we had last year. If you go back and you actually look at the production from Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson Jr. and even Savon Ahmed, I believe they were all over 5 yards a carry last year. So you go out, you get a tight end. They got a tight end that can block.
Eric Saubert.
Yeah.
Most recently with the Broncos.
Yeah. So you got a tight end that can block. You probably are going to want to get another one at some point, whether that's in the draft or I think it's probably in the draft. And you boost up this offensive line and you hope that what you have at running back is good enough. I mean, look at the Super Bowl last year. You see it every year, but I mean, look at the Super Bowl last year. Look at the running backs. Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, Kenneth Gainwell, Isaiah Pacheco, McKinnon. Like, you do not need a high profile, high paid running back to be good on offense in this league. Now, obviously, if you can get the right situation and you've got a guy like the caliber of a Derrick Henry, then obviously you want that. But the price has to be right. And it has to fit in with what you're doing in the grand scheme of things. I don't think right now where the Dolphins are at, that's a high priority at all compared to the other needs on this roster.
Yeah. And I think that's where we're going to go to next, because those of you who are watching live in the chat, I can see the comments coming through, and it's the message loud and clear in the chat right now and on Twitter the past couple of days, and not just coming from the people that are on the show. The Miami Dolphins need to upgrade this offensive line. They have not really addressed it at this point. Now, they did re-sign Kendall Lamb, who in his one start for the Dolphins before getting hurt, did pretty well for them. They also re-signed Jerron Christian, who I don't know how many snaps he played. They had signed him late in the year and he got hurt. He was somebody that was, I think drafted by, I believe it was the Commanders or the Washington football team, before ending up with the Chiefs later on. And then he got hurt and waived. And now he ended up with the Dolphins late last year, and the Dolphins have re-signed him. And then, of course, they also signed, they signed big man energy here, Dan Feeney. Dan Feeney this might be updating my Twitter avatar. I mean, once we get Dan Feeney in a Dolphin uniform, we're upgrading the show. We might even just write the same old Dolphin show on a picture of Dan Feeney and let that be the show logo, because this is big energy. Dan Feeney. I mean, listen, if he plays half as well as he looks, we're going to be in good shape on the offensive line. Maybe that's it. Maybe just put Dan Feeney out there by himself, and he's so much of a man that you don't even need anybody else on the offensive line. Dan Feeney, beast. But listen, the Dolphins, thus far, with the exception of Kendall Lamb, they appear to be, right now, picking up bargains, picking through the bargain bin. Right now on offensive line, they did not make a big push. And you understand why. The Dolphins, they made some moves. They moved some cash around, but they didn't want to make a huge expenditure on the offensive line. When you look at the numbers that Caleb McGarry and Mike McClinchy went for, this was big, big money that the Dolphins didn't want to spend, apparently, on the offensive line. That's not to say that they won't eventually bring in a tackle that is more expensive, but it seems clear, at least in the early part of this of free agency, the Dolphins are kind of willing to wait out the market a little bit and see if they can maybe bring somebody in who's a little bit easier on the pocketbook, so that they're not, having to make the big splash signing the way they did last year, although they managed to actually get Armstead and Williams, both for a pretty reasonable price. And it seems like that maybe is the way that they're looking to go again.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to have somebody. And I think at this point, the guys that you're looking at, they're guys that you bring in that these guys can get the job done at right tackle. But they're not untouchable. They're not. If Austin Jackson in a contract year finally plays to his potential and beats them out, it wouldn't be shocking, and it wouldn't be something that kills you because you just, emptied the pocketbook on a huge multi-year deal.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that we are waiting on a draft pick to come good?
What I'm saying is, you shouldn't be waiting for it to happen. You need to go out and attack this market and bring somebody in so that, in all likelihood, when Austin Jackson ends up being Austin Jackson again, you're not stuck there saying, well, who's going to play right tackle?
Right.
So but I'm not necessarily, you know, opposed to the idea of you don't want to bring in, you know, a Mike McGlinchey and pay $17.5 million or Jawan Taylor and pay $20 million a year, because those guys are getting overpaid. So, you know, it might make sense to look at that next tier. Now, a guy like Trey Pipkins, I think, would have made a lot of sense, but, he went back to the Chargers. Caleb McGeary, I guess, got like a pretty good deal. I don't think it was
wasn't a huge deal. It was money that you figured that the Dolphins might be willing to spend on him.
Like, I wouldn't have been mad if the Dolphins did that, but now I think you're looking at guys that, you know, you're going to be probably in that, you know, $5 to $8 million range as far as annual per year. Maybe you're giving a 1 year deal. Maybe it's a 2 year deal. And I'm looking at a guy like Jermaine Illuminor, who, you know, kind of bounced around all different places on the line, but really found a spot at right tackle with the Raiders last year and really played well for them. But I don't think he's going to command a huge multi-year deal, because I think he's still relatively unproven, but he's at least shown that he can play at a relatively high level. So I think you can maybe get him for like a 1 year deal at like $6-8 million. And then, you know, look, if Austin Jackson beats him out, okay, then Austin Jackson beats him out. And this is a guy that could potentially move to guard. He could potentially be your swing tackle. If Teron Armstead misses time, you've got another guy that's an option there. I'm not saying I necessarily feel great about moving him to left tackle, but this is kind of where you're at right now, because this is where the market is. So I think you've got to get a guy that at the very least, you have to go into next year assuming that Austin Jackson is going to be no better than Austin Jackson has ever been. And right. If you go into next year assuming that, then you need to have somebody else in there that is an upgrade over Austin Jackson that you can rely on, that at the very least. And if Austin Jackson beats him out, great. It's a great problem to have. Maybe even trade, maybe that boosts up Austin Jackson's trade value and you end up trading Austin Jackson. Because at this point, I don't know that Austin Jackson could play at a franchise tag kind of level, could be having a Pro Bowl type season. And I don't think that the Dolphins are going to extend him. So, you know, Austin Jackson playing at a high level probably, you know, could be fodder for, hey, maybe we can get like a second round pick out of
him. Hey, that'd be something. That'd be something. Let me ask you, what do you think of, because this is one of the guys that's out there still. Jermaine Illuminor.
It's literally the guy I just said.
I know. Jermaine Illuminor, but got rid of him. You know, cut him. Was no good for you. He goes to Vegas, succeeds. What a guy.
Yeah. Do we still have the same offensive line coach? No, we got rid of the offensive line coach.
No, we got Butch Berry back there.
Yeah,
now.
So maybe we finally got the answer. We finally got the offensive line coach so that doesn't continue to happen where, you know, we have offensive linemen that suck for the Dolphins but go elsewhere and are at the very least serviceable players.
You know, God, we got to get over that hump somehow. So, listen, I don't think there is a Dolphin fan out there that would make the argument that this Dolphins offensive line is ready to stand pat. I don't think that's the case. There's obviously work that still needs to be done on that offensive line. I don't know that they're done yet, but I mean, if they were, that would be a real problem. If the Dolphins offensive line room looks the same way, right, you know, in August as it does today, then we got problems. But a lot of people in the chat really into Isaac Seumalo.
I think that if the Dolphins went out and their primary objective this year in this offseason was to fix the offensive line, then, and they didn't care how much they were spending there, both short term and long term, then I think that that would make a lot of sense. But I'm not bringing in Seumalo and then moving Robert Hunt. Robert Hunt played at a damn near Pro Bowl level last year. when we finally just played him at guard where he belongs, where he should have been playing from the beginning, but he was bouncing around playing tackle. Maybe he's a guard. Maybe he's a tackle because the Dolphins had so many holes in their offensive line. They finally put him at the spot where most experts said when he was coming out of the draft, he should have been, which is guard. And he played at a really, really high level. Robert Hunt is a guy that, you know, I'm hoping that it can be a piece for this offensive line going forward and a guy that we can extend. I wouldn't give him the extension right now, but, you know, when we get into the season and it doesn't have like, you know, this year's cap ramifications, I'm totally looking at extending a guy like Robert Hunt. I'm looking at extending a guy like Connor Williams right now because you actually get some cap relief if you extend Connor Williams. And I look at what he did this year in his first season playing center. And he's a guy that now this year is, as we speak, is going into a contract year. No, lock this up. You have Teron Armstead, Connor Williams, Robert Hunt. Those guys should be pieces of this offensive line going forward. Don't get caught with your pants down and end up in a situation where you get into a bidding war next year with Connor Williams because he ends up being one of the best centers on the market. Extend him now. You get short-term cap relief. You lock him up. I also am looking at locking up Robert Hunt. The problem is that when you look at Teron Armstead's contract, and then you start talking about extending Connor Williams and you start talking about extending Robert Hunt, that's where I can see why the Dolphins would be a little bit hesitant putting big multi-year deals towards a guard or a tackle, another offensive lineman, because they don't want all their money tied up into the offensive line. The flip side of that is, this is what happens when you absolutely suck at drafting offensive linemen, which is where the Dolphins have been for the last decade. So I wouldn't have had a problem with it if that's the route that they decided to go. But it's clear that that's not where their head is at. So if one of those positions is more important than the other, it's clearly the right tackle position. You absolutely have to get a right tackle. And you can figure out left guard.
Yeah. So there are certainly still moves for the Dolphins to make on the offensive line. We'll see which moves those happen to be as we go through the process. Obviously, this is still a unit that needs reinforcements. Hopefully, there are still reinforcements coming. To kind of tap off the rest of the signings, as we mentioned, the Dolphins signed tight end Eric Saubert. And then on Thursday, they also claimed Freddie Swain off of waivers. He was most recently with the Denver Broncos. And an interesting signing to benefit the wide receiver room. They re-signed Braxton Berrios. Or they didn't re-sign him. They signed Braxton Berrios, a Miami guy. So they brought Mike White home. They're bringing Braxton Berrios home. Braxton Berrios, I also just saw some pictures of him as a kid out there on the internet with his Dolphin stuff on. So they're bringing Berrios in. I think he's an interesting guy to help out on special teams and to be returning kicks. And he's also going to be an interesting slot receiver, I think, for the Dolphins. Could be an interesting option for the Dolphins. And you're happy to take him off of the Jets' hands.
Definitely. I think the biggest thing is you're getting a guy that can return kicks. And you don't have to worry about, you know, the musical chairs we had, you know, kick returners last year. You're bringing in a guy that's reliable there. He's also a guy that is a good route runner, can get yards after the catch. I think and he's a Miami guy. You're bringing him home. I haven't seen what the contract looks like, but I assume it's pretty cheap. So I'm happy with the Berrios signing. The biggest thing is you brought in Berrios. You brought in, I forget what the other wide receiver's name is, who also, I believe,
Swain.
Who Freddie I believe Swain. He has experience as a kick returner as well.
Yep.
You're getting rid of Cedric Wilson. And you're going to trade Cedric Wilson, and it doesn't matter what you get for him. You could trade him for a seventh-round pick. You're getting $6 million in cap relief. That's huge. That's a player right there. That's a safety. That's a guard. That's a tackle. So let's get this job done. But the last thing that I want to touch, I mean, did you want to touch anything else on the wide receivers before I go off on this tangent?
I don't know which tangent you're about to go off on.
I'm about to go off on the tangent about one other way that the Dolphins can free up some cap space. to go
yes,
out.
Yes, we're going to talk about. Yeah, we'll get to that in just a minute. King Short really wants you to speak on Schell and Filer.
Well, I don't know much about Filer. I know that Brandon Schell did a solid job for us last year, and I'm fine with Brandon Schell coming back.
Yeah,
but
fine. Let him compete for a spot.
Yeah, let him. That's fine. But really, don't you want an upgrade there?
Yes,
like
obviously,
like if you bring in Brandon Schell and that is your move at right tackle, you have essentially completely run it back on the offensive side of the ball, except for backup quarterback and tight end.
Yeah,
and it's not like they brought in a big time tight end.
Although it does sound like Trent Sherfield is leaving town. He had a deleted tweet that sounded like he had put out a tweet that's like it was real Miami. He's going somewhere else. So maybe Trent Sherfield is gone. But I think Trent Sherfield was a guy that really helped the Dolphins out offensively. Obviously, he had that great reception against San Francisco, but he was more of his benefits really came more as a blocking wide receiver. And I think the Dolphins will be able to, you know, find a way to replace that.
Yeah, and I think the idea is bringing in blocking tight ends, getting more out of Eric Ezukama this year, who they drafted and, you know, were very high on in the preseason, but we didn't see much of in the regular season. So I personally would have loved to see Trent Sherfield back, but the price had to be right, and I could totally understand moving on from him. So I'm cool with that, even though I really liked the 1 year that we got out of Trent Sherfield.
And Filer is the guard that had just signed a new contract with the Chargers, and they cut him in order to extend Trey Pipkins. So, so we can maybe speak more on Matt Filer. Obviously, there are a number of guys out there that would probably end up being upgrades to what the Dolphins have now. It's just a question of what the Dolphins want to do in the market. But Brain, you have an idea of something that the Dolphins can do to free up some cash. And it is one of the moves that we were really hoping to see the Dolphins make, but they have not yet made. And there's any number of reasons why that move might not have happened. But you're going to get into that a little bit right now. Actually, before you do that, a reminder to everybody to make sure you smash the like button on this video. Smash the like button. Follow us on Twitter at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. Follow us. Smash the like button on this video. If you're watching live, if you're watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, thank you for watching live. We appreciate you. Smash that like button. Share it with your friends. Come along for the ride. Leave us a comment as well. All right, Brain, go ahead.
Now, depending on how they structure the contract, extending Christian Wilkins is probably going to save upwards of $4, $5, $6 million in cap space this year that you could go out and use to get a player. And Christian Wilkins was darn near an all-pro interior defensive lineman. He was the rock for this. He was the one constant. As much as we talk about the step that Jalen Phillips made and bringing in Bradley Chubb and, you know, as excited as we are about Javon Holland on the back end and, you know, being excited about X, you know, returning to form, playing more zone coverage and making the trade for Jalen Ramsey. The one guy that was the constant on this Miami Dolphins defense and who seems to be the leader of the Dolphins, at least on the defensive side of the ball, is Christian Wilkins. This is a no-brainer. Christian Wilkins, this contract extension needs to get done. The fact that it is not done and that it hasn't been the highest priority of the Dolphins this offseason is sending alarm bells off. And if it hasn't set alarm bells off for you, I think that you maybe are being lulled into a false sense of security that this guy is going to, it's going to get done. I hope that it gets done. It absolutely should get done, but there is no reason why this hasn't gotten done. The problem is when you look at the way this organization has valued specific positions, They've been very much stuck to their cookie cutter blueprint that they spend money and high draft picks on the premier positions, which are quarterback, tackle, edge defender, wide receiver, and cornerback. Just look at the last few years at who we've spent the money on, who we've traded for, who we've brought in. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Ramsey, Teron Armstead, Bradley Chubb. Look at who we've drafted in the first round. Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Phillips, Jalen Waddle. There's not a coincidence there. Even go back to the 2020 draft. Who'd they draft in the first round? Tua Tagovailoa, Austin Jackson, Noah Igbinoghene. They drafted Robert Hunt in the second round and were planning fully on playing him at tackle. The Dolphins value the premier positions, and it's not necessarily a bad blueprint. The problem is, at some point, you've got to be flexible to sign your best players. Christian Wilkins is one of the best players on this Miami Dolphins team. He is young. He is a great culture guy. He is everything you want this team to build around. And you can get that short-term cap space by extending him this year. So it doesn't make any sense why this deal has not gotten done unless the two sides are very far apart in contract negotiations. We've seen other interior defensive linemen around the league get huge deals. I question whether or not the Miami Dolphins are willing to pay big time money for an interior defensive lineman. And if they don't do it, I think it is a mistake. I also go as far as to say that I think it factored into the decision to pick up Tua's fifth year option, because I think that this is an impending thing where the two sides are far away and they see this coming down the pike as at the end of next year. They did not want to be in a situation similar to what the Giants were in this year, where they had multiple guys that they could potentially give the franchise tag to. The Dolphins wanted to make sure that they didn't have potentially a situation where they had to either give the franchise tag to Tua or give the franchise tag to Christian Wilkins. So they pick up the fifth year option on Tua. Now, if they have to franchise Christian Wilkins, they can do it. There's nobody else that they have to make that decision with. I beg and I plead that the Dolphins please get this deal done. And if there's one sign potentially of hope, it's that of all the other first round picks, go back to Chris Greer's first round pick as the GM of the Miami Dolphins, and it was Christian Wilkins. So I hope that this gets done. It absolutely has to. The further we get into the season and this doesn't get done, it's going to start getting talked about more and more, and it's going to be something that potentially hangs over the head of over the franchise. Get this deal done.
Christian Wilkins' contract is going to be bigger than the four-year $90 million that Darren Payne just got, right?
Yeah. And it's
I would
at
think
the
so.
End of the day, at the end of the day, he's worth it.
He's deserved. It's deserved.
I mean, they're outside of Aaron Donald and the guy, his name escapes me, from Kansas City. Outside of those two guys, Christian Wilkins is right there, interior defensive lineman. I'm not saying you don't negotiate. Like, the contract has to make sense, but you got to pay this guy what he's worth, and you got to get the deal done.
Yeah. So yes.
Chris Jones.
That's the one. So yeah, we want to see the Dolphins make that signing, make that extension. It's going to free up some space. Hopefully that is a deal that the Dolphins can get done, and that we don't see Wilkins ending up as a franchise tag kind of player in the future. I would really love that deal to get done before we get into camp and all of that stuff. So that's, we're all crossing our fingers for that, and he deserves it, frankly, as well. So, Brain, that's what the Dolphins have done so far. We know that there's still some things that we want them to do. There's one other thing that we got to talk about that is in the news right now. And that is that on Wednesday, Aaron Rodgers announced that he intends to play football for the New York Jets this season. Now, I gotta say, one of the best tweets that I've seen so far, and I'm going to pull it up right now so I can read it word for word because it was tremendous, and it was on this situation with Aaron Rodgers making the decision to play for the Jets. Let me find it here. I'm gonna vamp a little bit. Here it is. Okay. This is from Professor Crispy at Alfonso Hoops on Twitter. And I'm still stunned that this tweet has not done bigger numbers. But Professor Crispy says, if you go on a retreat that promises mental and spiritual clarity, and you come out of it thinking, I should play for the New York Jets, you should be allowed to sue whoever sold you that retreat. Aaron Rodgers said he was 90% going to retire before he went into the darkness retreat. And then he went to the darkness retreat for however many days. He's sitting there in the dark, stewing in his own crap. And he comes out of that and he goes, I want to be a Jet. I don't know, man. What do you make of this? Obviously, Aaron Rodgers had a rough season last year. He was playing hurt for most of it. We know that that was part of it. But do you think Aaron Rodgers immediately makes the New York Jets Super Bowl contenders?
I think he makes them better, but I'm not sold on the rest of the Jets roster. But I also think that the Jets probably groveled and bent to every single request that Aaron Rodgers had. And Aaron Rodgers said, whatever. I could do this for a year. You're going to give me whatever I want. You're going to pay me whatever I want. You're going to just bow down to whatever, you know, request I have. I think it's worth a shot for Aaron Rodgers. Plus, at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers is trying to get back. Like, look, this guy loves to be in the media. Like, this guy is thinking about his career afterwards. He's going to get into New York. This is a stepping stone for him. I don't think this is does Aaron Rodgers make the Jets better than them going out there with Zach Wilson and Mike White last year and Joe Flacco? Yeah, without question.
Absolutely.
Are the Jets absolutely, going to be a playoff contender considering, you know, the talent of that defense and then Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, I think this makes the Jets a contender, but I think the AFC is so loaded. And I'm not sold on the Jets' full roster as being a Super Bowl contender, unless Aaron Rodgers reverts to the form that, you know, had him playing at an MVP level. If Aaron Rodgers is playing at an MVP level, then yes, that the Jets have a chance. But in the history of this league, when quarterbacks go from playing at an MVP level to playing at, you know, an above average level, it doesn't, at his age, it does not tend to revert back to MVP level.
Well, I for one am excited to see what it does, because I mean, look at the quarterbacks in the AFC East. You got Josh Allen, you got Tua Tagovailoa, you got Aaron Rodgers, you got Mac Jones. Mac Jones is also there. So, you know, it's going to certainly make those AFC East matchups really, really tasty. Although Mac Jones is going to be throwing the ball to Juju Smith-Schuster now. So that's something. And he might be throwing the ball to Mike Gesicki as well. That is a word on the street, is that Mike Gesicki's got some meetings lined up with the Patriots. We know Andrew Van Ginkle is meeting with the Patriots.
I am not worried about the Patriots. I don't think
anybody is worried about the Patriots.
I think the Patriots are really, I don't know if they're, that the bottom's totally going to fall out this year, but it wouldn't shock me.
They're probably closer to being contenders to the number one overall pick than they are making the playoffs, huh?
I would say they're closer to being the number one pick than they are to winning the Super Bowl. Whether they're closer to the number one pick than making the playoffs, I don't know. I think there's still enough pieces there on defense. They're still well coached and they'll run the ball well. And so they'll find ways to be hovering around 500 when you get down to like crunch time. But I could also see the bottom drop off. I could see that.
All right. Well, hate the Patriots.
But
hate
I don't. Jets. But the Patriots are not. You might be right. The Patriots might be closer to the number one pick than a play, because I don't see the Patriots as a playoff team at all.
I think
they're clearly the worst team in the division.
Yes, that is true. So we're back to the way things should be, with the Patriots being the worst team in the division, and you got the Dolphins and the Bills who are really good, and then you've got the Jets who are just existing. So, well, Brain, I think that's going to wrap us up for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show, unless there's anything else you want to talk about. We covered a lot of it here.
Get this Christian Wilkins deal done.
Let's get that done.
Trade Cedric Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see them extend Connor Williams. They could free up $11 million in cap space by trading Emmanuel Ogba, but at this point, I would rather them just hang on to Ogba, because I just don't think you need that much cap relief, and I don't know what you'd get with that cap relief, and I'd rather just have the depth there. But make those moves. Christian Wilkins, Cedric Wilson, extend Connor Williams, and then go out and get a tackle and a safety.
Let's go.
Go out and get a tackle and a safety, and I'm feeling real, real good about this offseason. Right now, it's a major incomplete. It's a good deal, and it's exciting that you got Jalen Ramsey, but it don't mean anything if you don't fix this offensive line and if you don't get a deep safety. I mean, especially the offensive line, but also you need a deep safety.
Yes, you do. But listen, this much is clear. The Miami Dolphins are going for it, and they're going for it now. The Miami Dolphins window is now. We spent a long time on this show talking about the Dolphins building towards the window. The window is fully open. The time is now, and they are making the push now. They still have some holes to do. I mean, I will say it right now, and I'm not going to be shy about it. Right now, the ceiling of this team is capped by that offensive line. I am not certain that that offensive line, as it stands today, on March 16th, is what it needs to be to get this team over the top. It still remains a liability. But if they can shore that up, and they can have that, and Tua can stay healthy, if he can somehow find a way to stay healthy, it's at that moment now where the Dolphins are in that window, and it is not ridiculous to think that this is a team that could be right there when all is said and done at the end of the season. The window is now, and it's clear that, you know, they're pushing the chips to the middle of the table. They got it right now, this season coming up, 2023 and 2024. That's the Dolphins' window. And they may move some things around. They may find themselves in that position where they're, you know, they've got to take some steps back after that, and hopefully they don't fall off the cliff. But right now, they're there. This isn't a team. We're not talking about the team going from 9 wins to 11 wins or whatever it is. We're talking about a team that can be there at the end of the season. So they've just got to shore up that offensive line. That's that last missing piece. And hopefully that is a piece that they will fill, and that is something that they will take care of. We will be with you here at the Same Old Dolphin Show, and through the entire Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. We'll be here as news continues to break through this period. I expect we're soon going to be approaching the time where it starts to slow down for a little while. I mean, it's been a flurry of activity for the Dolphins through this first part of free agency. I think it's going to start to slow down a little bit, but stay tuned with us, all right? Make sure you're following us at Amplified Rock, at Aaron the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review. Like this video. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Smash that like button, everybody. We appreciate it very, very much. And make sure you're tuning in, visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day, multiple times a day, because we're going to be here with you as news continues to break. Shout out to everybody watching live. Shout out to everybody listening on delay in the podcast. Brain, any parting words for the people?
If you're going all in, go all in. fix the offensive line. Just do it.
Just do it. Don't be stupid. Just do it.
No more half measures.
No more half measures. Don't do it halfway. Go all the way in. If you're going to be all in, go all in. No doubt about it. Be confident. Otherwise, you're getting called and you're getting your you're getting your bluff busted. So let's do it. Let's go all in and let's win ourselves a Super Bowl. Gosh darn it. Here we go. Until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
We need Christian Wilkins doing the splits with the Lombardi Trophy in hand.